Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. South Dakota Public Broadcasting introduces you to the candidates of the 2018 election. You can hear all our conversations on our website at listen.sdpb.org. You can search for a candidate's name or simply search for your district, and it should show up with everyone who has visited us in the studios and talked to us about the issues of the day. Today we welcome Chris Johnson. He is a Republican candidate for the State House of Representatives in District 32. He's co-owner of the Clock Shop and Presidential Pawn and Gun in downtown Rapid City. He currently serves on the Rapid City Convention and Visitors Bureau. He chairs that, and he serves on the board of directors for the South Dakota Retailers Association. Chris Johnson, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Well, thank you, Lori. It's a pleasure.
And joining us from inside SDPB's Black Hills Surgical Hospital studio as well. We appreciate you stopping by. Tell us a little bit about some of those top issues that you think are most important for State House and in peer in the upcoming session this year.
Well, as for tourism, I've been a member of our Convention Visitors Bureau for the past 6 years. It's just been a real wonderful experience for me to watch Julie Jensen, our director out here, handle the marketing of Rapid City in particular to the rest of the country and the rest of the world, literally. But I'm so impressed with our entire Department of Tourism, all the way from Jim Hagen all the way down. I think we do a wonderful job of marketing South Dakota. And I think people need to realize that tourism is so tied in with our business community, because when we lure people to come to visit South Dakota, along with those folks, there are business people coming to South Dakota who have an eye on locating their business here as well. So it's an economic development process as well to bring people to South Dakota, and it's so important to follow through on that. We have such a beautiful state. We may not rank up in the top 10 of the states that are tourist-oriented, but we do rank in the top 10 all the time on places to see, go and see, like Mount Rushmore and Crazy Horse and the Badlands. And so if we can bring more people out to South Dakota, great things are going to happen, not only from a tourism standpoint, but business as well.
Do you think the state tourism department needs more support from the state legislature? Do you think it's on the right track for how that partnership currently works?
Well, you know, my approach as a new candidate for the legislature is to preserve at least the momentum that we have going right now. We've got so many good things going. Last summer, I was in Indiana, and I heard on national news that South Dakota ranked number one for states to retire in. And that was such a wonderful thing to hear when you're several states away about your home state. Mm-hmm. And I think the main thing that I want to look at is I don't want to go in with guns ablaze and say, hey, we need more money for this, less money for that, and think I'm going to go in and change everything. I would like to mainly preserve the momentum that we have right now. If you took a snapshot of South Dakota's government structure and compared it to all the other states in the country, I think we'd rank very high. And so we need to be mindful of that and not take that for granted.
How do you address some of the things that we're not doing so well in? The places where we're in the bottom percentage, education and some healthcare things. And how do you sort of look at bringing some of those services up while maintaining, you know, the low tax base that is desirable for business?
Well, I think that, as far as I understand, we're no longer at the bottom as far as teacher pay goes. And Governor Dugard addressed that with the half-cent sales tax increase. And although I'm not a fan of tax increases, it is what it is. And it seems to be doing its job on bringing teacher pay up. I think that the main thing that that I've believed in for many, many years is that if we turn things over to the private sector more and just trust that the private sector knows how to handle them and take care of those kinds of issues more on their own, that they'll surprise you every time. Government is not always the best place to solve those kinds of problems. Having said that, we do have a responsibility, and I think that we need to provide the essentials and continue to look at ways that we can lift ourselves up educationally.
You mentioned tourism. Talk a little bit about how arts and you know, our arts and historic culture sort of fit into that economic development as well.
Well, I have a deep appreciation for the arts. When I got out of high school, I went to University of South Dakota and studied a couple of years as an art major. And I always appreciated the fact that we have great symphonies in South Dakota and so many cultural, diverse cultural things to experience in our state. We certainly need to support that. I think that we have a powerhouse in our private sector that supports it as well. So I think the main thing the state needs to do is support the efforts that are already underway in South Dakota to uplift the arts. I think we do have momentum in that regard as well. If you go to Main Street Square in Rapid City, that's a relatively new thing. My gosh, it's a fantastic experience once a week in Rapid City.
Yeah, downtown Rapid City is an exciting place to visit. Since the SDPB studios are right down there, every time down there, I take a little walk and I find something new.
I'll tell you, probably about almost 20 years ago, I was involved with Mayor Shaw's Downtown Revitalization Task Force. And if you compared downtown Rapid City 20 years ago to what it is now, it's just unrecognizable. We've done so many wonderful things, from the presidential statues to the entire statuary at large in Rapid City, and the revitalization of buildings and events and the business community. It's all blossoming out in such a wonderful way. I just would love to see that keep happening.
So talk a little bit about other ways to keep that momentum going. Is it a hands-off approach from the legislature? Is it a, you know, keep pushing on certain levers? How do you see your role?
Well, having not been in the legislature, I can't speak from experience of being there, but I do believe that we have to have a partnership. Government can't do it all and shouldn't do it all. There's a lot of energy in the private sector to get things going, and we need to be mindful of where the communities want to go, where they need help, how we can help them, but mainly how we can allow them to do a lot of these things and trust our communities to do the right thing. I think Rapid City is a shining example of that.
Tell me about your experience as a first-time candidate. What are some of the things that you've learned as you meet voters in your district, as you sort of overcome some of the challenges that all first-time candidates experience?
Well, as you mentioned, I've been a business owner in Rapid City for almost 20 years now. I've been involved with downtown business for over 30 years, starting with my in-laws. And so I've developed a lot of relationships within our business community. And talking to those folks, the number one thing that they tell me is they like doing business in South Dakota. Right now, the thing that they're afraid of is that we're going to start putting more regulations on, more rules, more restrictions, and make it less comfortable to do business in South Dakota and make a profit. And again, you know, I believe that if businesses are allowed to keep more of their profits, naturally they want to grow and expand and hire people and improve the economy and the way of life for everybody. And I want us as a state to trust that.
You know, we've had a lot of these candidate conversations on this program, and they're largely positive and people talking about the good things that's happening in the state. Once the session starts, things get a little more heated, and you mentioned relationship building. So I thought we could close with just some of the work that you've done, you know, building relationships, which can be contentious in business, and how you would bring that collaborative focus and that willingness to sort of work with people with different opinions than yours in peer.
Well, you know, just from a personal experience standpoint in my own business, I would love it if everybody who came through my door paid full price for every item that I have for sale. I'd love it if when we sell a gun or take one in on trade that I'm dealing with somebody who lines up 100% with my beliefs on Second Amendment. That's not going to be the case. And so one of the things I've learned is that to develop relationships, you have to be a good listener. And you have to understand that not everybody believes the same thing. Even in the Republican Party, there's differences of opinion. And so the number one thing I want to do is be respectful of everybody, everybody across the board, both sides of the aisle, when I go to the legislature, and be quick to listen and slow to speak. And I want to learn things and make good decisions.